I want to continue from where I left last week. You recall, who remembers what we were talking about? It's always, who remembers what we were talking about last week? Mama Jess. Hey, Daniel in the lion's den. Yes, that's right. And I want to pick it up, pick up from where I left last week. But I just want to help maybe a few people that were not there last week so that they have a clear picture and understanding of where we're coming from and where we're going. I want to talk today about how to go through something and not smell like it. How to go through the difficulties of life and not be affected by them or become a victim of whatever circumstance, situation, dilemma that you have gone through. We want to talk about, I was giving a picture that in the past, you used to walk into the pub. You would just walk into the pub, you haven't smoked, but you come out and your whole clothes were smelling like you've been smoking. You were smelling like smoke. And so that's what the picture I want to talk about today. And I'm talking about how we can go through difficult situation and not be affected by it. This whole concept that many of us have gone through dilemmas in life, genuine difficult circumstances in life, and they have left scars upon our lives. And some of us are still walking and carrying these scars. Some of us, these scars have become our identity. Some of us, we have, our whole life has been shaped by these things that we have gone through. And I thank God because God says He wants to rebuild the broken walls. He wants to reclaim your identity and give you the identity that God says you have. He wants you to walk in your God-given identity. He doesn't want you to walk in somebody else's life. I just get a sense that many of us are living a life that is not the life that we intended to be living. We are walking as if we are walking in somebody else's shoes. These shoes are not comfortable for us. And so how can we go through difficulty and not be shaped and not be affected and not be defined and not become a victim of that difficulty that we have gone through? How to go through the fire and not smell like smoke. And now if you turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 3, remember there's three Hebrew boys, they're just teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king has made this huge image and he commanded everybody in the kingdom, you are going to bow down. When the music plays, you have to bow down to this image. You have to worship this huge image that he had made. And many believe that this image was the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so the Bible says everybody, many scholars believe that it was over 100,000 people that bowed down on that day. But except for three Hebrew boys, these teenagers, they decided we are not going to worship this image that the king has made. Amen? Now that, reading that, that brings something, that challenges me as a person because I find myself wanting to do what everybody else is doing. If we were going to do something, if many people say they'll do it, I find myself wanting to do it because others are doing it. I found myself being challenged by the knowledge of God of these three boys we are talking about, these three Hebrew boys. They decided to go against the flow. They decided to go against the culture. They decided to go against what was being declared by the state. I was saying last week, in our own country, in our own nation, there's so many laws that are springing from every corner and every direction that makes things that are not right in the eyes of God right. Things that are abnormal have now become normal. And the church finds itself compromising. You are the church, remember. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. We find ourselves in difficult position where we are tempted to compromise what God says. But these three boys said, we are not going to bow down. We are not going to give in to what this king is talking about. And so, because they disobeyed the king, the Bible says that the king was very much upset with this. How dare you three boys defile me? How dare you choose to do something else? You know, what's going on? And so he decided to heat up the furnace. The Bible says he did heat it up 7 times hotter than the normal heating time. And so the furnace was heated up and they threw these 3 Hebrew boys. And the king looked and he said, and he saw the boys inside. I'm just going through because we went through it last week. So I'm just going to skip a little bit. The king gave them a second chance and he says, you got a way out. You can choose to bail out. You can choose to change your mind. And the 3 boys says, we are not going to change our minds. The God we serve is going to help us. But then they went on to say, even though if he decided not to save us, it's not going to change our worship. We know that everything works together for good for they that love him. So even if God decides to get us slain, killed, by this circumstance, this dilemma that we are going through, we know somewhere, somehow, it works in the end for our good. Such knowledge of God. They knew their God. They knew the God that they served, that what he's capable of doing. They knew whom they were interacting with. They knew that the sovereignty of God, that it is God who holds everything. They knew that their circumstance or their situation, their hardship, we're smaller than God himself. That causes me to be excited. I don't know about you, but that causes me to be excited. So the Bible says that the king looked into the furnace. They were thrown into the furnace, and those people that threw them in, they even died. And the king threw these people, these 3 guys, into this fiery furnace. And then the Bible says that they saw these 3 men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Their hair on their heads was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And now here's the part that I want you to get. And the smell of fire was not on them. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. How to go through something and not come out smelling like it. Many of us know we have gone through discouragement. And we have come out of the other side with discouragement defining our lives. Many of us have gone through difficulties in life, and we have found ourselves on the other side feeling very fearful and self-pity really covering our lives. Let's pray as we seek God to help us this morning to unpack how we can go through the difficulties and remain standing and come out the other side with a praise be to God. Let's pray. Father, we ask you today, Jesus, we declare that you are the great I am. We declare that everything we have comes from you. We acknowledge that in this world that we live in, we go through so much hardship. In fact, many of us here today, you're going through serious, difficult issues of your life. And you can't see any way out. So Jesus, we ask you to come and be the Lord of our lives. We ask you to come and minister grace into our lives. Meet us today. We pray for a word in season. A word that will speak to somebody today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So church, how can we go through the fire and not be affected by it? How do we go through the tribulation? The Bible says that if you live a godly life in this world, if you live a righteous life, tribulations are going to come your way. Things are going to happen in your world. How can you go through them and not be overcome by them? How do you go through hardship in life and not be a victim of that hardship that you went through? How can you go through the fire and not be affected by it? How do you go through the trials there and not come out on the other side smelling like defeat? How can you go through something that is 7 times hotter and not even come out smelling of the smoke that you've just gone through? Well, last week I did give you a few points that I thought will help us in going through the fire and coming out on the other side with a praise be to God. The first one is you got to know your identity. You need to know that you have an identity. You need to know the thoughts that God has over your life, who you are in Christ. In other words, your relationship with God needs to be right. You need to understand the God you are dealing with, the God that you worship. You need to know Him, and you need to know what His thoughts over your life are. So you got to know your name. The second thing is you got to know the covenant that God has with you. There are lots of covenant. The Bible says He is just one of them. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, He says, He will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is steadfast on Him because he trusts in Him. Amen? And that's a covenant word that God gives us. So you need to know your identity in God, and you need to know your covenant, what God says over your lives. And once you start walking in the knowledge of what Scripture says or what God says over your life, you can go through anything. The trouble, we go through things and we come out covered with discouragement, we come out heavy, we come out covered with disappointment, is because we don't know the God that we serve. We don't understand what He says over our lives, the things that He's prophesied over our lives, the things that He said over our lives. So here's the third one that we're going to do. I'm picking up from this week now. Fear God more than the fire that you're going through. In other words, don't allow your problems, your circumstances, your dilemmas to affect your praise. You see, these boys, they could have looked into the fire and said, "Yo, I'm not going to in that fire. I'm going to say, tell me whatever you want me to say. I will say it. I will bow down." So they didn't allow their dilemmas, their situations to affect their praise of God. And so they were able to say, "King, we are not bothered by this furnace that stands before us. We are not affected by it because we have a knowledge of the God. We have this relationship with this God that we serve. And so it's not going to affect us. Even if He doesn't help us, even if He doesn't save our lives in that furnace, even if we die, we will still praise the Lord." So don't allow your circumstance to affect how you worship God. Don't allow the things that happen, that's happening in your life, to determine where you are in your walk with God. You know, some of us, when things are bad in our lives, we will come maybe here with a heavy heart. Yes? And so, rather than then projecting and say, "God, I know that You are a good God," we allow the circumstance to dampen the praise of God. And so, we'll just do whatever. We'll just get by. You gotta know your name, your identity. You gotta know the covenant word that God has for you. Let me show you something. Open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. And she's all confused about where we're going to worship God. Do we worship God in this denomination or in that denomination? Or do we worship God in, should I belong to this church or that church? Is He on that mountain or on this mountain? Jesus says, "No, you got it all wrong. It's not about that denomination." He said, "But the hour is coming." He says, "Oh, but here's the revelation," Jesus says. "It's now is the time. The hour is coming, but it's now is. It's coming, but it is now." Amen? What's coming? What is now? What did Jesus say? He says, "When worshippers," but He didn't just say just any kind of worshippers. He said, "True worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Here's what He's saying, Jesus, in this passage, or that verse. He's saying, true worshippers will not allow their circumstance to determine how they worship God. True worshippers are not going to look at their environment and say, "If everything is good, I'm going to go in and we're going to jump up and praise God. We're going to worship God with everything that we have." Jesus is saying, true worshippers will worship the Father. They will have this knowledge of something that Jesus says is coming, they will worship him like it already is. True worshipers will not wait when they get to heaven to be so given to God. Jesus is saying true worshipers, when they worship the Father, they will worship him in their circumstance with the picture of what's coming. They will praise him like it's already is here. Those are the true worshipers that Jesus is looking for. And so he says, I know God's word says he's going to make a way where there seems to way to be no way. I'm going to praise him anyhow. I'm going to praise him like I'm already there. I know what's coming. I know I'm going to, I know he's going to see me through this. I know my world is falling around me, but I'm going to praise him because he is faithful God. He's a faithful God and he keeps his word. So I'm going to praise him like he's already there. Someone might say, oh pastor, how can I praise him when I can't see everything around me? I have tried to come to church many times. I have tried to do everything right. How can I praise him when everything around me is falling? Well, that's where faith comes in. Faith is stepping out when you don't see. Faith is saying, in the midst of my fiery furnace, in the midst of my impossible situation, in this circumstance that is so dire, I'm going to praise God anyhow. There's a song we used to sing, praise him anyhow, regardless of what's going on in your situation. Man, can you imagine what sort of praise and worship that will be when we all come, regardless of where we are, we say we're going to choose to bless the name of the Lord anyhow. Yes, our world is falling around us. Yes, there's fire in front of us. But true worshipers will say, our worship is not going to be affected by the fire that's before us. Amen? No, that causes me to be excited still. The Lord will not put on me more than I can bear. Those are true worshipers. If God says it, I believe it. I'm just going to walk it out. I am ready. I'm going to walk out, or I'm going to walk in this fire that I'm going through like I'm already out of it. I'm not going to wait to be out to praise God. I'm not going to say, pastor, I'm not going to be in church for a few times. I'm just dealing with some difficult situation. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to bless you like I'm already on the other side of it. I'm going to worship you with everything that I have because I know what's coming. Because I know who I am dealing with. I know he keeps his promises. That God, he will keep us in perfect peace. Now look at Daniel chapter 3 verse 18. Here's what these boys say. Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. God will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. In other words, we are going to fear God more than our circumstances. We are going to fear God more than the dilemmas of life that we are going through. More than everything that the devil is throwing at us. We are going to fear God more. We are going to understand that everything works together for good for they that love him. We are going to understand that somehow in this situation where I don't see any way, he will make a way in the deserts. Amen? He will make rivers flow in the deserts. And I believe that there's somebody here today that he wants to affirm and wants to remind and say, you don't be defined by your circumstance. Remember what I said last week, that the devil always tries to change your identity. He comes and he changes your name. He wants you to walk in this kind of life that is not yours. And so fear God more than the circumstance that you're going through. In fact, they were safer in the fire than they were outside of that fire. These three Hebrew boys, by throwing them into the fire, they were actually more protected by God. Because the Bible says, as they did that, the king looked in. And how many people did he saw? He saw four people. And the king asked questions, didn't we just throw in three people in there? When we go through understanding our identity in Christ, understanding the covenant word that God has over our lives, with the fear of God upon our lives, Jesus steps in to our fiery furnace. He comes in and he walks with us and he takes us by the hand. And so the Bible says they were walking, moving about, and they were unharmed. The fire could not touch them. So how do you go through into that fire that's seven times hotter? So the king set up this fire seven times more. Here's the fourth one. You got to be dressed for it. The first one, you got to know your identity. The second one, your covenant. The third one, you got to fear God more than the fire itself. And the fourth one, you got to be dressed for it. You got to put on the clothes. Well, look at Daniel 3 verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers and turbans, the Bible says, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And when you go into that fiery furnace, you got to go into that difficult situation. You need to know your name. You need to know your covenant. You need to know all those things. But here is the thing that you need. You need to put on the whole armor of God. You need to put on the clothes that Jesus tells us. Now notice what the Bible says in Ephesians 6 verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then if you go down that chapter and look at verse 17 of that same chapter, he said, here's what you need to put on because you're going to go into that fire. You better put on the helmet of salvation. So what is he talking about? You need to put on the helmet of salvation because that helmet is going to protect your mind. The mind is the battlefield. The devil, the first place that the devil wants to defeat you is in your mind. And so he says, as long as I can get you in your mind, as long as I can twist your mindset, the way you think about yourself, the way you view yourself or how God views you, as long as I can twist that, of everything, your body is a piece of cake. Your finances, they're a piece of cake. This is the battlefield. And so the devil says, I'm going to go for your mind. And many of us, we need, as the Bible says, you put on the mind of Christ every day. Many times you don't feel like it. You wake up and you feel rotten. You need to get yourself up and say, I'm going to put on what God says I am. I am royalty. I am a royal priesthood. I am who God says I am. Put on the mind of Christ. Remember that story of David and Goliath. He picked up his stones. Where did he aim the stones at? At his head. He believed that once he get him on the head, he's going to flatten him. And so the devil is constantly having a go at your mind. He's having a go at your way of thinking. He's having a go at your thoughts. And so he attacks them. And once he can get an inroad and confuse your world, then he says, I've got you where I want you to be. And guess what happened? We all start walking as miserable people. And God says, we are to be a joyful people because we have every reason to give thanks to God. And the devil says, I'm going to rob the church of the joy of the Lord. How am I going to do that? I'm going to change the way they think about their circumstance. I'm going to get them to get so focused on what they're going through rather than on God. And so, church, we get caught up on problems. We get caught up on what's happening around us. Yes, we are going through a difficult time, but God comes and he goes ahead of us and he goes with us. Amen? So the devil is trying to have a go at the mind. He's trying to hit you right in the head, right in your thoughts. If he can cripple your mind, he will cripple your faith. But true worshippers are going to say, it doesn't matter about the circumstance. I am who God says I am. You need that helmet of salvation to protect your mind, to protect your way of thinking, to protect your thoughts. And then another thing that you need to put on in verse 14, the Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness. I'm talking when you go into that fire, you need to make sure that the breastplate of righteousness is around you. That breastplate, or difficult word to say. That breastplate covers your heart. Pastor, I've gone through difficult time. A friend that I thought was a friend for life has turned against me. I've gone through this at my work. They have just unfairly dismissed me. This is what has happened. And so you need to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to take that breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to protect my heart. I am not going to allow the bitterness to come and start to manifest, to make my heart impure. Amen? Because the Bible says you need to have a pure heart. Amen? And so you need to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm protecting my heart with the breastplate of righteousness. Do whatever it takes, church, to protect your heart. Do not allow unforgiveness to come and sit on your heart. Because as soon as you allow that, it becomes cancer. Genuinely, yes, you are entitled to be upset with them. Yes, they have done 150% wrong to you. But you gotta say, in the name of Jesus, I'm gonna protect my heart. I'm gonna present my heart before God as pure. Are you still there? I'm protecting my heart because my heart is going to be pure before God. I won't let that bitterness get into my heart. And then he says in verse 14, again he says, you got to gird your waist with truth. You better get that belt of truth around you. You know, we don't have this nowadays. We put up many times with error. We pamper each other on our backs and not tell each other the truth. God help us. We kill each other softly. You remember that song I say, killing me softly. When you don't tell me the truth, you're not loving me. When I don't tell you the truth, I am not loving you. And so the Bible says we need to put on the belt of truth. And here's the picture that Paul gives us, and even Peter gives us. It's a picture of running the race. And he says that as you run the race, make sure that your clothes, the belt is a good thing because it keeps things where they ought to be. And so we need the truth to keep things where they ought to be. And so he says, make sure you tuck your robes, your clothes, so that they will not trip you. So we need the belt of truth. We need to make sure that the truth prevails in our lives so that we will not trip ourselves. The belt of truth. He says when you run, we need that belt of truth. We're going to go through into that fire and you need to be girded with the truth. You got to get to stack up everything under that truth. Then it's not going to get into your way. The devil won't trip you. You will not fall into the lies of the devil. And then in verse 15 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, he says, you got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Well, feet speaks of movement. Feet speaks of movement. You remember the devil when he threw in these three Hebrew boys, the Bible says they bound their hands and their legs. They tied them together. And they threw them into the fire. But the Bible tells us also when the king looked on, he saw these men, what were they doing? They were walking unharmed. The devil tried to bind them. We need to put on our feet. We need to get our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That means we need to be ready to go wherever God says go. We need to be able to respond when God says, jump, you're going to jump. The children of Israel, they learned that a long time ago. They learned to look up to the sky. At night, they would see this pillar of fire. And when it starts moving, it was time to pack their tents and go. During the day, when this pillar starts moving, they say, church, it is time to move on. It is time to follow this cloud. And so we need to be a people that are willing to go wherever God says we need to go. We need to be open. The devil knows if he can bind my legs, if he can stop me, he will do whatever he can. And I know he's trying to stop me from doing what God wants us to do. And he will put around me, he will put around situation dilemmas that will come and paralyze me. And so I start looking at things Not from what God says, but from what I say. And so the devil says, I don't mind you hoping as long as you are bound. I don't mind you doing whatever you do. You can come and do a service. You can come and preach. But as long as I got you bound, you will not be effective. And so the devil tries to keep you there. And so we need to be ready. We need to be loosed. We need to be set free. We need to allow God to come and loose us and allow us to be all that He wants us to be. You've got to get ready to walk out and be in faith. They were walking unharmed in the midst of that fire. And their hands, the Bible says, they were not bound. Hands speak of ability to work. The ability to do what God is saying. That's what hands speaks about in the Bible. And so the enemy throws you, and he knows that he wants to throw you into a place where you say, I am not going to work. I'm just too busy, Pastor. If you see my schedule, everything I've got, I'm just up to there. And so our hands become bound by the devil. And so we are not willing to go out and do what God says do. And the devil is trying to bind the church, the hands of the church. And he'll say, I'll get you thinking about where you are. And I'll paralyze you with your circumstance. I will get you into a place where you look at where you are and fail to look at where I am taking you. I'll get you to dwell on where everything is. And you will start to make decisions on the basis of where you are rather than where I'm taking you. And so God help us, church. The devil is trying to paralyze us. And he knows he's after me, and he will do whatever it takes to stop me from my abilities. And he will use people like you sometimes. You will come and say things. And he will use anybody. He will use me to try and squash you. And it takes true worshippers that will say, what I have, the abilities that I have, they come from God. I will serve the Lord with what I have. Whether come rain, come sunshine. I am who God says I am. You can't take that away from me. Amen? It's okay to be excited in church, you know. So their feet, the Bible says, were bound, and the fire didn't have an ability to affect them. I'm finishing. Don't worry. I'm finishing. Here's number five. Here's why you need to make sure you know your identity. You need to know your covenant. You need to fear God more than the circumstances that you are in. And also, you need to put on the clothes that we just talked about. Because the devil is watching. The devil is watching, and he's watching at some of you. You are in the fiery furnaces of your lives. And the devil is looking. See what the king did? He chucked these boys in, and what was he doing? He was looking to see whether the fire was harming them. He wanted to see whether they'll bounce back and come and continue praising this God. He wanted to see whether you will be able to remain standing and say, I bless you anyhow. I give you praise. The devil wants to see you sweat. He wants to see you struggling. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus, do not allow the devil to see you sweat. Amen? Do not allow him to affect you in how you walk. And so these guys came out. The hair not affected. I'm finishing, and the hair were not affected. And here's what the devil says. The Bible says, what he has intended for evil, God will turn it for good. These boys were thrown into the fire to be destroyed. But the king, when he looked in and he saw them unharmed, he called them out, Shadrach, Meshach, servants of the Most High God. Now he recognizes. Come out and come here. And they did the sniffing test, checking everything to make sure that what's going on. And he says, I'm about to promote you boys. We are going to worship the God that you worship, the God that you serve. Nothing happens for no reason. You are in the fire that you are in for a purpose. There is a purpose that you're going through what you're going through. And the very thing that was meant to destroy you, God is going to turn it for your good. Here's a few scriptures I want to leave with you as I finish. Ephesians 5 verse 2 says, walk in love. 2 Corinthians 5 7 says, walk in faith. Micah 6 verse 8 says, walk humbly before the Lord. Galatians 5 16, walk in the Spirit. Colossians 1 10, walk worthy of your calling. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1, walk prudently into the house of God. And Isaiah 40 verse 31, walk and you shall not be weary and you shall not faint. Let's pray. God, we go through difficult things and we are in difficult situations right now. We pray that you help us to know who we are. Lord, many of these things, the devil has changed our mindset so much that it is now it looks impossible for us to believe what you say over our lives. We have become so removed from you that the abnormal has now appeared normal. And the normal has now appeared abnormal and unattainable. It's something that we can't reach. But I thank you, Father, because you are the one who gives us our identity. You are the one who helps us. Spirit of God, you're the one who makes it able. I welcome you into this place this morning. I don't know, is anybody here who is in the fiery furnace, who feel that they are in the worst of this fiery furnace of their life? We're going to pray together. David, do you mind leading us in worship? We're going to pray together. If this one person, maybe life seems to be going round and round, we have people here that can pray with you. I'm going to invite those people to come to the front and we're going to pray. If they're one person who wants God to do something in their lives, who wants to walk in that identity, who wants to renew, to hear again the covenant word that God has over their lives, who are choosing today to say, we are going to be the three boys over those 100,000 people. We are going to serve the Lord. We are going to stand up and say, enough is enough. Is there somebody today? If it's you, please come to the front. It's a safe environment. Don't worry about the person next to you. If it's you and you want God to break through in your life, you have gone through this year and things seem to just spiral into nothingness. And God says, I'm here. I want to stand with you. I want to declare my love for you.